So at the moment, it's much reduced. And, you know, if you look at the statistics of international attacks, the falling off from 2015, 2016 to where we are now, particularly the years 2018, 19, and 20 have all been very, very low. And this is all to do with what I said earlier, which is the fact that ISIL actually gave up its external operational capability as part of its survival strategy. It was just trying to survive the blitz that it was facing militarily, and so that was regarded as surplus to requirements, and they focused in on their most essential functions. The problem for them is that what that has left them with is a very limited external capability. And that's why most of the attacks that you've seen recently have been things like knife attacks or vehicle attacks, and a lot of attacks or intended attacks which have failed. So the statistics are way down. But I think the key thing people need to bear in mind is that there is this impulse in ISIL that they know they have to reclaim the headlines. They know that they have been out of the headlines and that they're struggling for profile these days. They've also had a prolonged period during the pandemic with a sort of a captive audience, because of course a lot of what they're doing is online. A lot of it is recruitment, radicalization, instruction, fundraising, and things like that, which are done online. Now, if they've used that time well, then it's possible that when restrictions are eased, that we will actually see some attacks, which, as it were, have been bottled up, but sort of been planned during the period of the particular movement restrictions. So the threat is there, but the thing that I think what we have to bear in mind is that if they successfully regenerate their external operations capability and they are able to direct sophisticated attacks, then we might see things of a different order, which are more threatening. Things like threats to civil aviation, for example, as compared with the, you know, frightening and disruptive, but nevertheless relatively unsophisticated and low casualty attacks that we have generally seen.
What about recruiting? You've mentioned, you know, they've been online a lot. I know that the U.S. government has announced that it had shut down fairly sophisticated fundraising activities from both ISIS and Al-Qaeda recently. How are they able to marshal and manage recruitment these days?
Well, again, it's tricky. Of course, they have this very sophisticated propaganda operation, and that still functions. And you have a combination of propaganda that's driven and generated from Iraq, from within their core zone, where they've still been able to stabilize their leadership. And also in collaboration with the international affiliates. So you see a huge amount of footage that's supplied by groups in West Africa or elsewhere, sort of showing operations and then attributing them to ISIL, calling them battles of attrition and things of that kind. So the propaganda is there, and there's a lot for people to read. And of course, there are a lot of potential customers, because you have people who are marginalized, in some cases, people who are, you know, I mean, there's no secret that ISIL has previously recruited people with mental difficulties as well. That can be part of it. But also there are a lot of people out there who are just susceptible to radicalization, and the propaganda's there and it's available. So people are seeing that, but then the question is, what are they doing about it?
Edmund Fitton Brown, coordinator of the UN's Al-Qaeda Taliban ISIS monitoring team. JJ Green, WTOP News.